Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And let's see. I didn't see him. Brother Barry, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We've been looking at a couple other points. Number one, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ in verses 1 and 2. And also, secondly, the humanity. We saw that Jesus is fully God and that Jesus is fully man. And both of those were required to provide an acceptable sacrifice for our sins. We're down to number three tonight, and that is the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that word twice in verse three. It says that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father. What is fellowship? When I was a little boy going to church and the pastor would say something like, there's going to be refreshments after this or that or a fellowship, for some reason I always thought that refreshments meant French fries. I don't know if it's just the F in the word, but I never remember a fellowship or refreshments that ever included French fries. I'm not sure if they had an oven, but I'm sure no one hauls their deep fryer back and forth to do French fries anyway. But what do you associate with fellowship? Fellowship, according to Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary, is defined as companionship, company, a community of interest, activity, feeling, or experience. So when you fellowship with someone, you feel like they're friends. You feel like there's something in common. Some common interest, activity, feeling, or experience. So what do you associate with fellowship? Well, number one, food is associated with fellowship most of the time. Food. Note, hold your place here, if you would. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Food is often associated with fellowship. Now, I know they say that Baptists can't get together without eating, but, you know, the early Christians were that way as well. It's not at all gluttony, but it's hospitality. It's like with Abraham, when the three men he saw walking, the first thing he did is offer to feed them. When they came to Sodom and Lot was there, he did the same. He fed the two angels there. So in Acts 2:42, so fellowship, food. There's nothing sinful about that. It's just showing hospitality. Acts 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and what?
Fellowship.
And in what?
Breaking
of bread and in prayer. So the word fellowship only appears one time in the book of Acts right here. But the principles and the things associated with it appear many times with the matter of fellowship. So you can see down just a few more verses, verse 46. And they continuing what? Daily with one accord in the temple and what?
Breaking
bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So it was something they did. It was the hospitable thing to do. You recall when Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding at Cana of Galilee, when they were out of the juice, Jesus provided more for them. So It was just a matter of hospitality. You think that was his first miracle? His first miracle was showing hospitality. The very first miracle. It's important. And we saw Sunday, in fact, let's turn here for just a moment. Hold your place here, but in Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. The matter of friendliness, hospitality. That's the test that God will use when he sets up his kingdom on earth. In Acts 25:35. Well, let's back up to the verse 34 just to show you what the setting is. Verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye what? Gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye what? Gave me drink. I was a stranger, and what? He took me in. That's all hospitality. I was hungry. He gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. He gave me something to drink. I didn't have a place. You took me in. And Jesus said he didn't have a place to lay his head. The foxes had holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So the first thing we see here in relation to fellowship is food is associated with fellowship. And back in Acts 2, number two, praying is associated with fellowship. Praying. Acts 2:42, once again. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and what? Prayer. In prayers. You know, maybe that's something we need to work on more. Fellowship. Yes, food was a common factor, but so was praying. Breaking of bread and in prayers. You know, as Christians, we fellowship together. We eat meals together. Sometimes you may invite folks over and you may play a game. But how often do we make a special time of prayer a part of our fellowship? You know, as Christians, we often discuss problems in our nation. We have many problems. You know, right now there's been a decree made that transgenders can go in any bathroom they please. We're back to that same thing. In the president's, they don't call it decrees, executive order. In one of those executive orders, it starts right out with the children. Children at school should not have to be denied the bathroom, the locker room, the sports team, anything they want to be on their self-declared gender is okay. That's wickedness. It's just plain wickedness. It's dangerous. You know, I can see, though, how some stores are responding. They're turning their bathrooms into one-person bathrooms. And this wicked society, that's about the only way you could do it as a store owner, is just make every bathroom separate, one person only in at a time. And you know, we can talk about that as Christians and Americans, and we can say, how could anyone in their right mind want men and boys going into the ladies' bathroom or vice versa? It's mind-boggling, isn't it, with what is going on? And, you know, we can talk about it, but that's not going to help. I mean, we can even write our senators. And in our particular case, that is not going to help at all. I've written to our senators many times. It never phases them on what they are set out to do. And so what can we do? You know, as we fellowship together in homes and here at church, we can talk about all these problems in our nation, but it doesn't help cure the problem. But one thing can, and that is prayer. Because for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Luke 1:37. If you continue to hold your place here, please, let's turn to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. An interesting verse here, Proverbs 14. I've got to get to Proverbs instead of Psalms here. Proverbs 14 and verse 23. In all labor there is what? profit. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to what? Penury. Penury is poverty. That's a word for poverty. So in all labor, there's profit. In other words, if you work, you get something accomplished, you do a product or a service, something, and there's profit in that. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury, only to poverty. In other words, if you're the boss and all your workers just stand around and talk all day, unless you happen to be the boss of telemarketers or something like that, other than that, if your employees all just stand around and talk, that tends to poverty. Your company's going to go out of business. Unless your business is some type of talking, you're not going to make any money. So in all labor, there is profit. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury, to poverty. And so as Christians, we can discuss problems. But all that tends to is poverty. All it tends to is that, okay, let's talk about the problems in our nation. What is it going to help? But if we as Christians get on our face together before God and say, Lord, we need your help. Notice in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves and what? Pray. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I what? Hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will what? Heal their land. Isn't that what we need? Our land needs healing. But our land is not going to be healed by our talk. Even if they would give us a platform in Washington, D.C., most of the time it wouldn't do any good to say anything there. It's going to have to be God that speaks to hearts. So, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. You know, when Peter was put in prison in the days of the early church, the church didn't circle the jail and, you know, yell at the officials all night long. They prayed. Notice in Acts chapter 12. We tend sometimes to just follow the world's example, kind of like David did when he tried to put the ark on a cart. Well, that's what the Philistines did, but God told them to put the ark on some poles and have the priests carry that. And so Uzziah died because it was done the wrong way. But in Acts 12:5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but what? Prayer. You sure your Bible doesn't say protests? But protests were made without ceasing of the church? No, it says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You know, we live in a world where we see, you know, what we see is that when people don't like something, they protest. They march, they protest. You know, when it comes to all the fraud of the elections and everything, you can get kind of frustrated. But, you know, really what would have done more good than having a million people or whatever went to Washington, D.C. to try to get our legislators to wake up. What would have done much more good, actually, is if all those people just would have been on their knees praying for God to do something, because the protest clearly didn't work. Notice in verse 11, Acts 12:11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. You see, the church couldn't legally do that. The church couldn't have surrounded the jail and broke into it. Then they all would have been lawbreakers. But God broke him out, and Herod couldn't do anything about that. Verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together, what? Pray. You see, that's what our nation needs too. And that's our part. I know we seem infinitely small and unimportant and powerless. And we are. But God isn't. And so we've got to go to Him. You know, when we can't go and make an appeal, a humble appeal to those over us, then the thing to do is not rebel against them and go tell them off. The thing to do is appeal to God. Lord, please help this leader to see the right way. Because if we try to do it any other way, we're wrong. And we will be judged. So, number one, food is associated with fellowship. Number two, praying is associated with fellowship. And just, I'm learning from this study here, and I think, you know what? I want to make prayer a bigger part of our fellowship. It's important, very important. Number three, worship is associated with fellowship. Worship is associated with fellowship. 1 John, back in 1 John 1 and verse 3. 1 John 1, 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with who? The Father, and with who? His Son, Jesus Christ. So worship is associated with fellowship. John is telling us here, and John had been able to personally fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. You know, if you invited a family over for fellowship, and they said, well, I'd love to come, but I have a friend with me here. And you would say, well, bring your friend with you. That's okay. And you say, well, my friend is gluten-free, gluten intolerant. So is that going to be a problem? Well, no, but I'm glad you told me, because there wouldn't have been any food for him if otherwise, you know. So thank you for telling me, so I will prepare. I will change my menu, or at least part of the menu. Maybe the friend's diabetic. And, you know, what desserts did you have planned? Maybe you can get another dessert that would be preferable or helpful for a diabetic person. Maybe that friend you're bringing with you just suffered the loss of a close family member, and it is in great sorrow. You know, that will probably maybe change a few things. You might be a little more careful, not be too just joking around. And, you know, we like to smile, we like to laugh, but when someone suffered a great loss, you just want to be careful of what you say. The first time I ever talked to Brother Barkowski out at Old Paths Baptist Church, he was joking around with me on the phone, and I didn't know him from Adam, and I didn't know how to take him. I really didn't know, you know, is this guy for real, or, you know, what? You know, I mean, he's like Brother Medicera. They're quite the jokesters. But I had never met him before, and so I wasn't sure how to respond. So, okay. So anyway, so if someone has a friend and you're inviting them over for fellowship, you say, sure, bring him. And it's nice to know if there's some certain things, food, other things that need to be careful of. So what would happen if someone said, sure, I'd love to come, but I'm bringing a friend with me? Okay, who is he? He's Jesus. Is that going to change anything? Is that going to change any games we might play? Would Jesus feel comfortable playing that game? Anything else? You know, maybe a video. If Jesus was here, would I show that video? Would I bring up on my phone that thing I read about, that short little funny video clip? Would I show that to everybody if Jesus came? But Jesus is always with us, isn't he? Yeah, we don't think about that, do we? As much as we should. Notice in Matthew 28:20. The Bible says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am what? With you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus is always a guest wherever there is a Christian present. But he is an unseen guest, isn't he? But if he was seen, would it change our fellowship? Would anything change with our fellowships if we actually practiced his presence? If he was actually sitting there in the living room where we could see him, would it change anything we had planned? Good question. And back here in 1 John 1:3, so he says, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So John desired to have fellowship with these other Christians, but he just wanted them to know that the fellowship he wanted to share with them was what he shared with the Father and the Son. And notice in John 13, you know what? John could practice the visible presence of Jesus because that's where he had been. He had lived that way for three and a half years. In John 13:23. Now there was leaning where? On Jesus' bosom. One of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? You see, John had that close, visible, personal fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you know, in his case, it was pretty easy to picture that throughout the rest of his life, even though Jesus ascended back to heaven. It was forever etched in his mind. And he knew that Christ abode in his body yet. And so he continued to live with that truth. And we know that truth. As Christians, we know the truth that Jesus is with us. But it's so easy to forget that truth. Would Jesus really be comfortable with everything we do? Would we be comfortable with Jesus present there with everything we do? That's a striking thought that we need to dwell upon. So John said, you know, hey, I want a fellowship with you, but I just want you to know that my fellowship is with the Father and the Son. So when I'm there, that's what I'm thinking about is him. I want everyone to worship him that I fellowship with, as I've enjoyed his fellowship. And so John is pointing out, you know, our fellowship, worship needs to be a part of it. Food is associated with fellowship. Praying is associated with fellowship. Worship is associated with fellowship. But is worship, I mean, when we get together and fellowship together, is Christ Jesus exalted and lifted up? Number four, joy is associated with fellowship. Joy. Let's go to 1 John 1:4. 1 John 1:4. And these things write we unto you that your what? Joy may be what? Full. You know, the world doesn't know anything about this. Oh, they think they know all about joy and happiness. But they don't know anything about fullness of joy. You know, Jesus' presence at our fellowships does not ruin the fellowship. Does not put a damper upon fun. It just gives guidance to true joy, the fullest joy. Notice in Psalm 16. Psalm chapter 16. It makes you wonder, doesn't it, about Christians that say, but the food, I can understand, but praying and worship, when you fellowship with one another, I mean, come on, can't you just have some common fun? What, with that mentality, what is heaven going to be like for all of eternity? It really doesn't sound like they want to go there, does it? I mean, when they say, you've got to bring prayer into everything. Everything has to, an important part should be to worship God. You know, what's wrong with you? I mean, we're on earth, you know, come down. Be normal, we're on earth. Well, you know, eternity is going to be a lot longer than this earthly time. So, I think there's some wrong thinking somewhere. So, in Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life in what?
Thy presence
is what? Fullness of joy. Okay, then why at our fellowship, in our time of fellowship, if Jesus was coming in the flesh where we could see him, to any of our times of fellowship, why should that spoil anything? Why should that put a damper? According to this here, it should bring fullness of what?
Joy.
It shouldn't put a damper on anything. If anything, it should make it truly a joyful occasion. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are what? Pleasures forevermore. If there was something planned to do at a time of fellowship that you really wouldn't do if Jesus was seen and sitting there, then that thing really is not going to bring fullness of joy. That's just the wrong mindset. Totally. Good thought to think about, isn't it? Look with me in John 15. John chapter 15 and verse 9. John 15:9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you that what? My joy might remain in you. You see, he was going away, but he wasn't taking his joy with him. That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be what? Full. This mentality that, well, if you make Jesus so much of your life, you're not going to be able to do anything fun. That's the total wrong mentality. And if I couldn't do it in Jesus' presence, then that thing really is not going to bring me joy. It really isn't fun. It's a worldly thing that there's going to be some regrets. That your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. You see, fellowship, sharing in common, is a love for people and to share Christ. That's what fellowship is. Notice in Proverbs 14. So the world has their joy, they think, but it's not fullness of joy. It's not something lasting. Every worldly pleasure is short-lived. Proverbs 14:13. Even in laughter, the heart is what?
Sorrowful.
I feel sorry for these comedians that just their job is to try to make people laugh. You know, that's like the jesters that used to come before the kings, just to try to make the king laugh. But that's exactly what this is talking about. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. You know, they have the old story that the clown has a smile painted on, but underneath is a frown. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is what? Heaviness. So that fakeness, just trying to make people laugh, there's no joy to that. The end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. So, shows you verse 13, the emptiness of foolish laughter, and then verse 14, the backslider in heart. He's filled with his own ways, a good man satisfied from himself. So, you know, we don't want to have a time of fellowship and then go home and feel like we're a million miles away from God. Or maybe not a million miles away, but go home and feel like God has been no part of our gathering. Notice in John 15. John chapter 15 and verse 10. John 15:10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my what? My joy might what? Remain in you, and that your joy might be what? Full. That is what we need, that fullness of joy. You know, as we gather together for fellowship, whether it's at church here or in their homes, it ought to draw all of us closer to God. So we've looked at 4 points tonight. Food is associated with fellowship. Number two, praying is associated with fellowship. I want to really work on that part. Have a time of prayer. Number three, worship is associated with fellowship. And number four, joy is associated with fellowship. Next time, Lord willing, we'll look at point number five. Holiness is associated with fellowship. We'll continue on there because John, in the book of 1 John, John really hits home on this matter of not walking in darkness, but walking in the light. There should be a difference about us as Christians. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that there would be a difference in our lives. I pray that truly that we would have fellowship with you. And that as we continue on in 1 John, it talks about loving the brethren. A true, a pure, a holy love. A sharing in common, a fellowship with those that are our eternal family. Those who are saved will always be with them. And Father, I pray that you would help us because this world just so easily turns things around opposite of what they really are. And I pray that you would help our fellowship to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.